came up. All right, let's talk about scholarships. Happy
Let's
December.
talk about it. Oh my goodness. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm feeling a lot better. I've been sick. My whole family's been sick, but feeling a lot better.
Oh wow, I hope you feel
Absolutely.
better.
Thank
Oh
you.
man. That's tough. I think, you know, it's that season and it's going around. And like, oh my neighbor was sick. So yeah, I totally get it. And one of my
Absolutely.
friends was sick. So I hope you feel better.
Thank you
Most
very much.
definitely. But I'm Yvette Jett, and I am the strategic leadership coach. And today, everyone, I have the Scholarship College Mama. I'll let
Hey,
you introduce
Yvette.
yourself. I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for
And
joining
happy
me.
Kwanzaa, day two of Kwanzaa, Kujija Kulia, self-determination. So there you go.
Happy Kwanzaa, happy Kwanzaa. I'll give you the stage. Introduce yourself because you know what you do is so critical. Parents need to know about it, and I think this is the perfect time, right? Because kiddos are on break, the scholars are on break, and now's the time to start racking up on those scholarships and understand how to get it started. So tell us about your journey.
Awesome. So my name is Laverne Mickens. I'm the Scholarship College Mama. I'm a teacher. I've been teaching for 24 years. I'm the wife of a teacher. My husband's been teaching about 20 years. We've got five kids, and I started the scholarship journey with my oldest child about a decade ago. Kahari graduated from high school and was headed to Hampshire College, and I started looking for scholarships because private schools, they give a lot of great aid, but there was still a gap. And if it's 5 cents, I'm not paying it. So I just started looking all over the internet, looking in scholarship books, asking around to friends and family. And that's how my scholarship journey began. And then I started accumulating scholarship lists. After Kahari, my twins were getting ready to go to school. Then Josiah went to school. And then my youngest, Elizabeth, graduated from high school last year with $1.5 million in scholarships. So
Are you
here
serious?
we
A
are. Yes.
million and a half
And because of
dollars?
Liz, I knew that kids were desperately seeking funds outside of loans. I have my own loans. My husband has his loans. So I knew that I wanted my kids to be debt-free. So I've started this business because I wanted other families and other kids to know that you too can be debt-free. You don't have to take out loans. Private scholarships, there are so much money, about $100 million every year goes unclaimed because kids either don't know, don't apply, or don't try.
Those three issues, huh? Oh
Yes.
my goodness. And you know what? That's critical because I think people look at scholarships as being hard to obtain, and it's
Right.
like so much red tape. There's so many hoops to go through. So let's just get the loans because they're easy, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
You
you just sign the paper. I mean, if they're gonna give it to you, people
apply.
think that's free
Right.
money, but you have to pay that back with
You have to.
interest.
You
It's
know.
not free at all. No.
And you go to school forever and have to pay it back. And you know what? That's why I did loans when I first went to college. And I was so glad when I went in the military. So I'm like, okay, they'll pay them off. But how great would it have been to know about these scholarships first to make it really something that's obtainable for everyone? So what's the best strategy for someone to get started?
Well, scholarships are year-round, so there's some myths first that we have to dispel. Number one, only high school students can get scholarships. Not true. I've got some of my fourth and fifth graders right now working on a scholarship. So you could win as early as kindergarten, first grade. You could keep winning until your doctorate. You could win as an adult learner. Everybody can win scholarships. There's money for everybody from five to 105.
Are you
Everybody can win a
serious?
scholarship. Absolutely.
The
And
babies can have a scholarship
absolutely.
that
So what they do is if you win before you graduate, they put it in escrow or they
early?
hold it in an account. And so when you get to high school and you're about to graduate, you just circle back, reach out to that scholarship provider, let them know you're about to graduate, show your transcript, and then they release that money either directly to you or to whatever school that you're about to go to. So absolutely.
Are you serious? And
Absolutely.
oh my goodness. And I'm in my doctorate program and I'm paying
Okay,
for college.
congrats. Yeah.
Thank you. I love school. Like, don't tell my kids, but I'm even looking at my books now and I'm supposed to be on break, but I don't.
Okay.
I'm addicted. So.
I love learning too. Absolutely. The other thing people need to know is that scholarships are cyclical, they have cycles, and they're year round. So, right now, we're in the midst of the winter season, which means lots of state scholarships and lots of local scholarships in your town or in your county either have opened or they're about to open. And you probably have what's called a community foundation in your area. I have a community foundation locator that's free if anyone wants to reach out and email me. The community foundation locator will locate the community foundation that will give grants and scholarships to you for free. That's an easy $1,000 to $2,000 right there. Mm-hmm. Grants you don't pay back, scholarships you don't pay back. And that's the money that you want to grab a hold of and start today. Start. Like, the year's not over. December 2023, there are still millions of dollars this week before the new year for money that you can apply to and win. So apply, 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 especially you all. TikTok, I know you're watching. Apply, apply, apply.
Okay, yes. So this is my thing. Okay, so you apply, apply, and you get rejected, right? How does a scholar like handle that rejection, and how do you maintain that motivation?
Well, rejection is a part of life, right? I mean, before you hear yes, you're going to hear no.
Okay.
You're going to hear several no's. I mean, my daughter and I applied to 2 a day, 12 to 15 a week from last July to last January. And all we heard was no, but I know how this works.
Okay.
So I was like, don't worry. Just keep applying. So there were like 50 no's before there was one yes.
Really? 50?
So you got to be in it to win it. Absolutely. Ooh. Absolutely. She applied to maybe about 5,200 scholarships before she heard her first yes. Her first win was 1,000. Her second win was 2,000. And then we kept winning back to back to back to back to back. You got to be in it to win it. You got to be confident. You got to know. You just got to sit back, lay back in the cut, and just know I'm going eventually. It's going to happen, period. Right. And then it's several months because there's so many scholarship applications they have to go through. So something you apply to in the fall, you won't hear about until after Christmas. Something you apply to in the winter, you won't hear about until the spring, right?
Okay.
For example, and once you're in college, another myth, you have to stop after high school applying. Not true. Once you're in college, you can continue applying. For example, the Always Feminine product company had Always Dreaming, Always Striving contest for scholarships in the summer. She applied. It was $2,500. She didn't hear back until October or November. And the check just arrived in the mail. And that goes directly to her. So now she's going to school debt free. They're actually paying for her to go to school because she's got money in the bank that she's banking on. So,
wow, what a blessing. Like, I had no idea.
Absolutely.
Okay, tell me this then. Why isn't this more publicized in schools and school counselors? Like, that's what I, not to be too serious about it, but that's what kind of concerns me.
It's right? True. I'm concerned too.
I don't hear this. Like, I don't hear this. And it gives you having this conversation, right? Gives more hope. Like, my daughter, she wanted to go to LSU, but it's not in state because we live in Texas.
Oh, I have a client that's in Texas that just got into LSU. And I just had this conversation with her yesterday. And I said to her, now, you're in Texas, so Texas is your state to get in-state money from. Yeah. Now, LSU is a state school for Louisiana residents, so they're going to overcharge you because you're coming from Texas. Even though they have a relationship and a partnership, any student going out of state to a state school is going to cost so much more. Yeah. Private schools cost less. Fun fact, I have twins. One twin went to Smith College, an all-girls school up here where I am in Massachusetts, and the other twin went to the University of Massachusetts, our flagship state school.
Okay.
How about Smith College cost $77,225, but it was cheaper for her to go to Smith than the other twin was to go to UMass.
Really?
Smith College, I think I paid less than $1,000. UMass was at least about $7,000 to $10,000 that we had to come out of pocket.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
Do you know why that is?
Well, a couple things. State schools don't always have the endowments that private schools, like private schools have alumni, private schools have donors, private donors give back, and they're usually wealthy. Like if you think of your Smiths, your Harvards, your Princetons, your Mount Holyokes, your Vassar, your Dartmouth, schools like that, they have endowments and donors to give back. Now, not to say that state schools don't have donors and people don't give back, but it's not as much, right? And they get a lot of money from the state, from the federal government, but they're looking for the next big thing, the next big cure, the next big invention. So they're giving most of their scholarship money away to STEM kids, international kids, you know, things of that nature. So most of my kids are artists. They're writers, they're singers, they're musical theater people, they're dancers. So the arts, you know, are really not frowned upon, but you have to be very specific and intentional with the schools you apply to and the scholarships you get, depending on your major and your discipline. So
I see. Because my daughter, she's an artist. Oh, my goodness. That She's a natural artist. So, and that's where she wants to focus her attention. So that's good to know that you know, students like her have options, because my thing was, you can go in state and it's free, but going out of state may be at a different out-of-pocket cost. But having these scholarships, it looks like she has other opportunities.
Exactly.
How do we get this in the schools, even at elementary level?
In the school. So here's the thing with guidance and adjustment counselors, and shout out to all the guidance and adjustment counselors that are doing their job, doing it every day, really working hard for these kids. It's a daunting task. It's a hard job to do, especially if you've got a high school of 1,000 to 2,000 kids. Okay. Each guidance counselor may have 300 to 400 or 500 kids on their roster from 9th to 12th grade. So their focus is not always scholarships. Now, they should have a college counselor in each school. There should be somebody focused on career and college readiness, scholarships, trade, getting into college, things like that. But because that's the job of the guidance counselor and they've got a gazillion other things to do besides that, some things fall through the cracks. Now, I know my kids, their guidance counselors were amazing. They were on top of their game and they always had what's called the box, the scholarship box. There's a scholarship box in every guidance office of local and state scholarships and some national ones too, and regional ones. But if you don't have a guidance counselor that knows about certain scholarships, number one, the internet is free. And number two, social media has really changed the game. Instagram, TikTok, there's so many young women that I looked to last year that are in this space that are giving valuable information. And of course, myself, as much as these kids are on TikTok and Instagram and even on YouTube, put scholarship in the search and you will find a plethora of information. So there's no more excuses. There's no more, oh, I don't know, nobody told me. Well, you need to be proactive. You need to find out the information for yourself, because you don't know what you don't know. And your parents don't know. 30 years ago, my guidance counselor gave me the three local scholarships that she knew about. I didn't know about any of this. I applied to two schools and two scholarships, and that's it.
That's it.
The landscape is so much different now. You know what I mean? So,
And I'm so glad that landscape is changing, because, you know, I believe there, you can go to trade school. You can do a lot of things, right? So college may not be for everyone, but you know what I love about college, because you can test your theory for life and for what you already know against what's been published, right? What's been peer reviewed. So it just opens up your mind to so many different opportunities and gives you an opportunity as a young person to navigate through life kind of in a safe environment.
Exactly.
So, and you know, it just gives an opportunity for so many, because knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
In the right way. So this is what I heard you say the other day, because, you know, I watch you on TikTok. Probably I've been addicted to TikTok. Okay. And I've
learned. We all are. Yeah. That's crazy.
I've learned so much information. And this is what I would love for you to touch on next. The one about veterans.
Oh, yes. Yes. So I did a Veterans Day scholarship video. It didn't really go anywhere. TikTok, the algorithm was acting up that weekend. But if you are a veteran, I know my father was a veteran, and I got, as his dependent, I got veterans benefits and I got money for school. So I know that if you are a veteran, there are monies set aside for you to go to school, but also for your dependents to go to school from the government. But did you know that there are also scholarships for veterans and scholarships for dependents of veterans also? There are sites like scholarships.com, Scholarships360, and Scholarships America that cater specifically to veterans, dependents of veterans, and first responders. Absolutely.
Really? Well, I'm glad you mentioned first responders, because, you know, what they do is so valuable. Like, we couldn't live without them. And, you know, because a lot of times veterans don't see the benefits of their hard work beyond like what they've done in the military. Right. And just to know that even if you didn't save your GI Bill for your dependents, there's still opportunities for them. So putting that money together and piecing it together is so, so valuable. So valuable.
Absolutely.
So what are three tips that you would give a person that's looking to start their scholarship journey?
Let me see. Three tips. I have a lot of TikTok questions about the FAFSA. We're going to talk about financial aid in a minute. And no, It hasn't opened yet. December 31st. I've been telling y'all for months, right?
Yeah.
But three tips if you were going to start your scholarship journey. Number one, get organized. I'm a visual learner. I'm a visual person. I have post-it notes, big charts, big desk calendar. Get organized. I'm old school. I like to write. So get a pen, paper, notebook. Okay. I actually have a notebook my daughter and I had of all the scholarships we applied to and everything. As we started winning, we checked it off. So get organized, okay. Get a pen. Or if you like, an Excel spreadsheet, if you're techie like that, you can do that also, a Google form. So get organized, number one. Number two, get help. You cannot do this by yourself. People always assume that kids know about the FAFSA and they can do it on their own. Kids know about scholarships. Oh, they're 18, they're growing up. Who said that at 18? I'm 50 and I still need help with things. You know what I mean? So get help. Ask for help. And if you don't have a parent or a caring adult to help you, reach out to one of these people. You reach out to me, reach out to other TikTokers that or people on Instagram that are doing scholarships. So get the help that you need. And number three, no fear. Fear and faith cannot occupy the same space. So if you want to go to school, who's going to pay for it? I'm not. Your mama's not. If it's 5 cents, Big Mama can't afford any of that. So you got to have the faith that you're going to win. You've got to speak it into existence. You've got to actively do the work, because faith without works is dead. So you got to get organized and you got to get started like today, like right now. Absolutely. Right now.
Right now. Oh my goodness. Because we got the time. We have the time.
Y'all are all off on vacation. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting for? That's what I say. Get busy. Get busy. Get busy.
Yes. And so you say you had questions about the FAFSA. What were the questions that people ask you?
So the FAFSA, which is the free federal financial aid form that used to open January 1st, way back. They moved it up about 5-6 years ago to October 1st. So this year they pushed it back again to December 31st. So people kept saying December 1st, mid-December, but it was always New Year's Eve. They pushed it back because Congress dragged the Department of Education into some hearings and said, listen, these kids are in debt. They're not getting enough money and the form is too complicated. So you need to make some changes. So what the Department of Education has been doing, dragging their feet doing it, they changed the form so it's supposed to be easier. And about 600,000 more kids are supposed to be Pell Grant eligible, which means more kids will be eligible for more aid. The form does not open until December 31st. But here's the thing. I'm hearing that there's going to be a soft launch on the 31st because there's going to be so many people clamoring to get on the site, so many people that are trying to apply. There will be glitches. So I know for me, I usually do things right when they open. I might wait a week or so because the gag is, here's the thing, the schools are not pulling your data until the end of January. So there's no rush. So the form will open December 31st. You need to have an FSA ID. The parent who's filling the form out with you needs an FSA ID. And the two of you together will have your own parts to do. The child has their part. The mom or dad has their part, or the guardian. And then you also need to give consent to electronically transfer your taxes from the IRS. If you do not give consent, you cannot complete the form and turn it in. Really? And the last thing, all of my undocumented and Dreamers and my DACA kids, you are not eligible for this form, but you can get state and local aid. But if you're a citizen and your parent is undocumented, then there's a way. In the past, you filled out all zeros or your ITIN number. Not this year. This year, there's a box that you can check for your parent to say that they don't have a social security number. The government will assign a number for them so you can fill out your form. So
really, so it's for everyone. So
it's for everybody.
There's no excuses.
Exactly.
No excuses. So this is my next question. Extracurricular activities and community service.
Okay.
Does that play a part in scholarships?
It does, depending on the scholarship. I will say this. I'm going to keep using this word today, intentional. You should be intentional about your service and you should be intentional about your extracurriculars, because a lot of kids use it as a checklist of things. So I did this.
Okay.
But there's no commonality. They're not aligned. None of it makes sense. This is for college also. So for example, if you're a STEM major, and you're applying to a STEM scholarship, they want to see an internship maybe in your STEM field of choice. Okay. They want to see extracurriculars that have to do with science or mathematics or technology. My daughters are dancers, so they had dance class. They went to dance competitions. They started an after-school club for dance and music for kids in our community. Everything that aligned to dance and theater and music was all on their resume. So when they went to apply to college and scholarships, they saw alignment. Things made sense. And, this student is serious about their future and what they're doing. I'm going to give them the money. I'm going to give them the fellowship. I'm going to give them the grant because it makes sense, right? So it doesn't look like a checklist. Oh, I did Key Club, National Honor Society, Food Bank, Cancer Walk, yada, yada, yada.
Okay.
Things that you do should be aligned. There should be a commonality and it should make sense. So, and then there are specific scholarships. Like if you're a dancer, you wouldn't apply to a dentistry scholarship, right?
Okay.
You're going to apply to the scholarship that's catered just to you. That way you win. That's how it makes sense.
So what about those kiddos that don't know what they want to do?
Perfect. There's scholarships for them too.
Really?
Sometimes you don't have to declare a major until your junior year.
Okay.
So there are scholarships that are just general, like for high school seniors, college freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors. There are just general scholarships.
Okay.
For different levels in school, different ages, different grades. You don't have to know your major and you don't have to be passionate about any particular thing. There's scholarships for them too.
Oh my. So there's just scholarships for everyone.
Everyone.
Ooh, okay. This is the one. What about international? What if you want to go international?
International meaning you want to study abroad or international students coming here? There are scholarships if you want to study abroad. Absolutely.
Really?
There are certain sites, there are grants, there are scholarships, there are fellowships, especially if you can tie your study abroad to academics and not just you going overseas just to follow law and do whatever. But if you can tie it to a specific theme, a cause, maybe you're doing community service work, maybe you're doing type Peace Corps type of work or anything having to do with academics. Yeah, there's tons of money for study abroad. Absolutely.
Oh my God. Like you're making so many people's dreams come true, right?
I hope so.
I'm telling you, you are giving hope to the future and to so many parents, right? That don't know how they're sending their kiddos to school.
Right.
So, I think when I think about all this conversation, it takes privilege off the table. It takes underprivilege off the table.
Right.
And it gives so many people an equal playing field where we're all in the same plane. And isn't that awesome to, at 18, you have an opportunity and you're not stifled, right, by your circumstances or situations.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
I agree.
Because
college, actually, I if you want to go, because a lot of people don't want to go, but if you want to go, I don't think you should have to break the bank or be in debt to go. That's my philosophy, right?
I like that. So circling back to you, what made you get into education? Because I've seen you in your classroom and your kiddos doing your TikToks. And you're passionate about it.
I am.
Is it 19 or 20 years that you've been in education?
About almost 24 now, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So and you're in elementary school, aren't you?
I am. Yep.
So tell me, why education? What makes you passionate about it?
Honestly, when I was growing up, I went to Catholic school from kindergarten to eighth grade. And I don't want to say I didn't like my teachers, but being the only little Black girl in a space where there was no one that looked like me, the way some of the nuns and the teachers were behaving or treating me, I said, I should be a teacher because I would treat my kids so much differently than this. And I would play school at home. I would line my dolls up. I would write on my chalkboard. I would assign them reading assignments and math assignments. And I just grew up having a love of learning, reading, writing, and wanting to give back. And so I didn't know one specific area I wanted to get into. I just knew I liked learning everything. So I said, well, what can I do where I learn everything and I teach things and I tell people what to do? Oh, teaching.
I can do that. I love that. So you can
let me do that, right? So that was it. I was like, ching. But I was also a dancer. So when I went away, after I graduated, I went to Virginia State in Petersburg, Virginia. Okay. And I was a dance and education major. But because I didn't have enough scholarship aid, I only spent 1 year in Virginia, and I ended up going home to the private school in my town, which was almost completely paid for. So
really,
I love my HBCUs, but they don't give enough aid. So that's another conversation.
That's a whole nother conversation. Yeah. So, because our HBCUs are so important, right? Because like you said, to see people that look like you, that have the same experiences like you, but are able to do it on a higher level and be successful at it, our people need to see that, right? Our kids need to see that. But like you said, sometimes the funding isn't there, and sometimes just the environment isn't there, right? Just right. Facilities and things like that. And that really is disheartening to me because, oh my goodness, there's so much culture. My first college I went to was Southwestern Christian College here in Terrell, Texas.
Nice.
HBCU. And just the struggle for funding every year for the college is really like disheartening still to this day.
Right.
I made some wonderful friends, great education, great professors there. But the struggle for the campus just to stay open was a huge struggle.
And that's the other thing. Federal funding for HBCUs, was on the decline, I think, in the last few years. I want to say some schools get more than others. They're not all treated equally, unfortunately. But yeah, they've got to do better. They've got to do better because initially HBCUs were open to educate us because no one else would let us in their spaces. No one else would let us on their campuses.
Right.
So if you value these spaces and you value these schools, then you've got to pay up and give them the money that they need to survive, to sustain us. Right.
They do have to survive. So how do you transfer? Because it seems like all of your, now if I counted correctly, right, math is not my strong suit. So if I counted correctly, I think you have like four or five children. I heard twins.
One I've got my oldest, Kari. I've got twins. I've got five kids.
Five kids. Okay. And it sounds like they all are going through college. How do you instill that love for college education in your kiddos themselves?
Education period, just from birth. Like I said, my husband, well, before he got into education, he was in business.
Okay.
So he would talk to them about business and money. And I was a teacher. And as parents, I'm their first teacher anyway, even before I got in the classroom. So just a love of learning, writing, reading, educational music, educational shows, surrounding them with family who are also big on education. I always say in the meetings with my parents, do you value education or what's the value you place on it?
Okay.
Because that tells me a lot about what's going on in your home, what's going on in your family, what's going on with this child in my classroom. So just since birth, fostering a love of learning, a love of education, curiosity, and then just letting them grow into that and keep instilling that. And then when they're old enough, they make the decision. Do you want to go to school? Do you want to go to a trade? Do you want to work with your hands? Josiah, who's my fourth oldest, is in culinary school.
Really?
Brilliant, but almost didn't want to go to college at all because he was a COVID kid. He graduated during the pandemic, drive-through graduation and all of that. So developed a love of cooking during the pandemic, cooked for us, made up recipes. So now is at the community college about to graduate.
Yay.
And, you know, and I'm happy with that because Josiah almost didn't go to school at all, but wants to own a food truck, maybe make quesadillas or tacos on the food truck. So you've got to figure out, or the kids have to figure out what their passion is and just kind of steer them and lead them in that direction.
Oh, you know what you remind me, you know who you remind me of. I had a third grade teacher. I tell this story all the time. Third grade, I'm about to be 46, Miss Milligan in the third grade.
Oh.
I remember she had like a love for children. She had a love for kiddos. And she told my mom early on, she said, Yvette is going to go far because she has common sense.
Right.
And that right
there. Which isn't so common. Listen, common sense is not so common these days.
It is Trust not. Me. But that's what you do for our young people and for our students. We have 30. This has been a great conversation. We have 30 seconds left. What do you want to leave our audience with? What knowledge or information would you like to leave?
I want you all to know that if you're in school, you want to go to school, you know somebody that's in college or wants to go, scholarship money is available to you, like today. Get on it. apply. There's scholarships if your income is a certain level. There's merit-based scholarship. Mm-hmm. Even if you have a 2.5, a 3.0, there's scholarships for you if you want to be a veterinarian, or if you want to be a chef, or you want to be a dancer, or you want to be a scientist. There's scholarships for everybody under the sun. And you don't just have to be Black and brown to get money either, because guess what? Everybody can win scholarships. You could be purple with polka dots. You could be stripes, orange, no matter what color you are. There are scholarships for you. And if you're not sure where to look, reach out to me, the Scholarship College Mama. I'm on Instagram and TikTok, and we'll get you some scholarships. We'll get you going.
Thank you so much. Oh my God, this has been a wonderful conversation. I'm going to post this probably a couple of times, but there's so many people I know right now where their scholar needs these scholarships. For thank you for sharing your message. Keep sharing
thank
your
you,
message.
Absolutely.
Even when the algorithms are off, because you are doing great things.
Trying to.
Yes. Oh my God. Thank you for connecting with me. And when you guys come to Dallas, bring the kiddos so they can
cook. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You have some talented kiddos. So yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing this space with me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Have a great day.
You
and
too.
Everyone out there, thank you guys for joining us. Have a great day, and we'll talk soon.
Take care.
Bye.